Now, last year at this time, I was living in the rural Worthington area. I was living just outside a little town of Fulda, or as I ran into somebody else here today, they know Finkston. I was at the Finkston Church. So here I was, living out in the country. Now for me, this is a big change. Me, the city girl, the girl who's basically lived in cities and suburbs her whole life, is now living out in the middle of nowhere. Church on one side, cemetery on the other, surrounded by fields. This was my new reality. One of the things that I enjoyed doing on internship was on a sunny afternoon to take a walk along these country lanes and just listen. Sometimes I would hear the barking of a dog or the crowing of a rooster. Sometimes I would hear a car approaching me on the road, and sometimes it was just the gravel under my feet. Did you know that there is a difference in the sound of the wind blowing in a cornfield than that of a soybean field? Now I'm back home in Woodbury, and I still walk on a sunny afternoon. I walk on the trails near my house, and I listen, and the sounds I hear is traffic in the background, I hear people, and I hear the variety of pets in the area of where I'm walking. We live in a society that is noisy and busy, and there's always a thousand things to do and to complete, and everything is competing for our attention, right? You need this item to be really happy. Oh, hurry up, it's running out. Better get there while supplies last. Oh, by the way, you have one more thing to do, so let's add it to this busy to-do list. It's exhausting. So when I teach confirmation or I lead a retreat, I always build a little period of silence into our time. And I started this practice after I read an article that talked about people, in particularly youth, were overstimulated. Our brains need a break. They need this silence to rest and refresh. They need this relaxation. This silence gives us an opportunity to really listen. You might hear the person breathing next to you, the clock ticking on the wall, or maybe a door closing far away. More and more, I find a sense of peace in these silences. And it's also that opportunity where I get to listen to God and hear what God is calling me to do with and in my life. In our gospel story, we find Jesus sitting on a boat. And he's doing what he normally does. He's teaching. And the thing we need to remember about him sitting on the boat is it's water and people up on the shore. It's going to give him a natural amphitheater. He doesn't need these mics for everybody to hear him, even those way in the back. And he's teaching through storytelling. Namely, today, we heard about four parables. We heard the parable of the sower, the light and the bushel, the growing seed, and the mustard seed. And interspersed, he has two explanations to his followers about how he intends to teach with these parables, whether they work or don't work on those hearers. Now, imagine for a moment that today we are living in the time of Jesus. Those stories and every image he has spoken to us, it's present in our everyday life. To survive, we all need to plant the crops and we need to find that good soil, and we know what that looks like. And we're not going to waste one precious inch of that soil to anything else. And we know that we're not going to put it out on the rocks, we're not going to put it on bad soil, and we know where that is, and we know that we're not going to put it on the road because nothing would grow. And I thought about these modern farmers that I used to live by for a year, right? Learned lots of things about farming. Do Do you know that their tractors and seeders, they have GPS, and it's basically, they get it going and it basically runs itself? But that equipment knows exactly where those tire tracks are gonna go, so it doesn't put seed there. So then when you come back a few weeks later and you have to spray it because, you know, you don't want the weeds, it goes through that same path. So here's this precious soil that is not being seeded because they don't need it. It's just getting where they planted the seed. Also in this time, teaching in parables was a very common practice. Many of us think, oh, Jesus taught in parables only. No, this was a common practice. So people were used to learning in this way. And also in these parables, Jesus uses, there's such vivid stories. It allows us to participate. It gives us thoughts and emotions. It even gets sensations out of the story. For the peasants who lived at that time, these stories were stuff that they definitely knew very well. And even for those people who lived over in the towns, they knew this reality as well. So, what is Jesus teaching us in these four parables? When I was beginning to write this sermon, I couldn't decide. Should I take one of these parables, take it on a micro level, and just dig into that? But I thought, no, I'm hearing something greater. So I decided to explore this from that macro standpoint. It gives that big picture of what Jesus is up to, what he is teaching. And I was reminded that in Mark 1, at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, he says in verse 15, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Then we move into chapter 4, where we are today, and Jesus is teaching in these parables. And did you catch how many times the words "listen" and "hear" were said within these 34 verses? The very first time is in Mark 4:3, where Jesus begins, "Listen, a sower went out to seed." And the last time is in verse 33, where Mark is writing, "With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it." All in all, there are 10 verses where we hear about listening or hearing. This whole passage has Jesus giving instructions to listen so that we might understand his words and understand that the kingdom of God is here, it is at hand. In our lives, this means stop, pay attention to what you've heard. Now, with the kids, we talked about sometimes hearing comes out of reading. We hear it when we read the scripture in our brain. And then what we need to do is we need to stop for a second and say, what's going on in this story? Or who is Jesus talking to? What is going on? Only when we do that can we then change our mindset on what God is calling each of us to do. Now, the theme of the parable of the sower is that we do not have control over who will or will not hear God's word. Frankly, that's up to God, and there's nothing we can do about that. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't invite somebody to hear God's word, but only God can make it part of their lives. And this is the same theme in the parable of the growing seed, where we hear the seed would sprout and grow, and he does not know how, he being the farmer. Now we can begin to ask, what does this mean for us in this time and in this space? We need to stop. We need to turn around, and we need to search for the truth. The mystery of God is all around us. Now, when we say the mystery of God, we're not talking about a secret hidden knowledge or a secret language that's only known between you and me. No, it means about God's revelation coming to us. So right after Jesus explained to the disciples that he taught in parables to confuse and confound people, he then encourages them and us to put a light on the nightstand next to our bed so we can see. It's a little confusing, but remember, God reveals to each of us individually. So we ask, what does this mean for us as a group, and what does it mean to me individually? So after we stop and consider what this means in our life, we're called to action. And it's so easy to allow those distractions of life, of watching one more television series, to play a video game, to get overly involved in something somewhere. And sometimes, it's just plain scary to listen to what we're being called to, or asked to do. You know, I don't like to get up, I'm not going to make any of you get up here and preach unless you really wanted to. I'm afraid to do this. I might not look cool. I might look like a goof. I might. Our fears and anxieties draw in on us. So we need to repent, to turn around, and change our thinking to consider how we listen. A single idea could be the size of a mustard seed. Maybe, out of prayer, we had an idea come to us. Or maybe it was out of a reading or out of a conversation. It could be a conversation at coffee hour. But when we take that idea and share it and try it on to size to see if it might work, change occurs in our lives. And I was thinking, isn't this what our visioning team has been up to? Rather than when Pastor Nate left, saying, okay, let's just call a new pastor, we're set. No. We took time to stop and listen. Listen to people in our churches and the neighborhood around us. We prayed. Our visioning team carefully got together and talked and had retreats. And they looked inside themselves and within our community to see, what is God calling us to do? What does God want from us? What does he want from Redeemer? This tiny little seed is our life. Our actions as individuals and even as a community of faith should be heard about based on what we hear, despite those distractions, no matter how much we like those distractions in life, and set aside those anxieties and fears. It seems to me like Jesus is saying to us, look closely at all that stuff in your life. So engage the word. Listen to it. Work hard at hearing it. All of us have ears. May we hear, and may the word of God dwell in each of us richly. Amen.